Now, Dominion Voting Systems settled its defamation lawsuit against Fox News earlier this week, with Fox agreeing to pay $787 million in damage to the voting machine company. The settlement was struck just minutes before a trial was set to begin. Dominion sued Fox over false claims that hosts on the network made about voting machine fraud during the 2020 election. Court filings during the case showed that Fox executives and hosts doubted some of the claims they were making on air. The network acknowledged false claims in a statement but won't have to apologize on air. Here's a listen to Dominion attorney Justin Nelson after the settlement.
This litigation cannot solve all problems. All of us remain ever vigilant to find common factual ground. Today represents a ringing endorsement for truth and for democracy.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this settlement between Fox News and Dominion? Are you disappointed it didn't make it to the trial? What would you have wanted to learn more about? What questions do you have about the media laws involved and what can happen when a news outlet makes false claims? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ronell Anderson-Jones is a professor at the University of Utah's S.J. Quinney College of Law. She specializes in the relationship between media and the courts, press access, and defamation cases. She's also a former newspaper reporter and editor. Ronell, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Is this case comparable to much else we've seen in the courts when it comes to media defamation lawsuits?
No, this case is something of a unicorn. The constitutional bar in these kinds of cases involving public figures and matters of public concern is set incredibly high. So these are very difficult cases to bring. And because of that, they don't get brought very often. And when they are brought, they virtually always settle at a much earlier stage than this. So this is the rare case that proceeded all the way to the very cusp of trial. And it's rare in that the public got to see in filings in the court this fairly rich trove of evidence that Dominion said that it could use to show that high constitutional standard of knowing falsity or reckless disregard for the truth.
I want to talk about that bar, that standard a little more. It's not just a media outlet made a mistake or even that the mistake they made was disparaging in some way about the person suing. What more needs to be established to even get a case like this into a courtroom in the first place?
That's right. The United States Supreme Court has said that because we want to have a broad scope of freedom for press speakers and those who are commenting on matters of public concern, it isn't enough in these kinds of cases to show that the media outlet was sloppy or that it was negligent or that it was biased or even that it was inaccurate. You have to show what the court called actual malice. It's sort of a poor term for the actual concept. It doesn't mean malice in the sense of anger or bad feelings, but rather is about the news outlet's relationship with the truth. It's about what they knew. It's a state of mind standard. But you have to climb inside those shoes and demonstrate to the jury by clear and convincing evidence that the media entity knew or recklessly disregarded the falsity that it ultimately broadcasted. And it's quite difficult and deliberately so. The court said, we don't want it to be easy for people to weaponize defamation law against those who are commenting on matters of public concern. And so we set the standard very high and make it possible for there to be quite a lot of falsehood that still circulates in the press and gets countered in other ways, only in these rare instances of a sort of knowing, conscious lie that harms reputation can recovery happen.
Before we dig into Fox, one more point of contrast here. Sarah Palin, former Alaska governor, former vice presidential candidate, had filed a libel suit against the New York Times. A column had gotten something wrong about her. It did not paint her in a flattering light. It did not make it to anywhere near this stage of court. What was going on there that made that fall short of that bar?
Yeah, that case happened last year. It was between Palin and the New York Times, and it was different, I guess, in two important ways. One important way was that it involved a single statement, one sentence that was erroneous and harmful to Palin's reputation in a single publication in the New York Times. The Dominion suit was more about a pattern and practice. There were 20 total suits, 19 of which Dominion said were broadcasted on Fox after Dominion had alerted Fox to the falsity of these wild allegations and had pointed Fox and its hosts in the direction of accurate information. So in terms of scope and scale, this was a much different kind of suit. And then the second way that it was different was in terms of the proof of evidence of knowing falsity. In the Sarah Palin suit, Palin's camp attempted to demonstrate that the New York Times ought to have had a high degree of awareness of the probable falsity of the statement that was made there, connecting Palin's campaign erroneously to a shooting that had occurred. But it was a much more distant and tangential evidence in comparison to the Dominion suit, where Dominion had gathered through discovery a large body of internal evidence of actual text messages and memos within Fox saying things like, this is a lie, this is ludicrous, this is crazy, pointing to what Dominion said was proof not just of a high degree of awareness of the probable falsity, but actual knowledge of falsity on the part of Fox and its hosts.
Talking to Ronell Anderson-Jones from University of Utah's College of Law, looking at the Fox News settlement with the voting machine company Dominion. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, your reactions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Nate is with us in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me. Believe it or not, I was one of those people who was kind of hoping to see this thing go to trial. And that's in part because I was hoping more details would come out. I also think that while Fox is paying out money to a company that it caused harm to, there's a value that we might miss to a degree of basically at the end of the court case, Fox News potentially being required to say to its viewers, hey, we lied to you about this big thing. And with them not being able to require it, they might hope to sweep this under the rug in a year or two. And I'm curious just how dishonest Fox News or other organizations might be, because this is one of those few times where we as outsiders actually get to see some of the internal thoughts in that organization.
Nate, thanks a lot for that call. Ronell, Nate brings up a couple of big points there. First, he's disappointed. He was hoping we would learn more with a lot of key Fox personalities on the stands, I think, in a trial. What do we not get because of this settlement?
Yes, well, your caller is expressing a frustration that I think was commonplace, and it actually points to a wider point that this case has helped us see as sort of as a nation and as a people. Defamation law might be one tool that we think of as useful in the wider fight against broader societal disinformation, but it's in many respects a limited tool. Here, Dominion was only able to sue about the lies that were told about Dominion, very specific defamatory lies that harmed the reputation of this particular company. And it all happens in this framework that is motivated by civil litigation between these two corporations, which means that eventually when the settlement number gets high enough here, upwards of $750 million, the folks who hold financial interests in those companies really have very little choice but to move forward and make decisions that are better than rolling the dice and moving before a jury, no matter how confident you might feel in your claim. And so the desire that a lot of folks have to play out and litigate in the public sphere wider questions of election denialism and disinformation more broadly are sometimes disappointed, right, in the limitations that defamation law has. The caller is also definitely correct that we would have gotten more detail had we moved forward to trial. Scheduled on the witness list were a number of key players at Fox, including some of the biggest named hosts and Rupert Murdoch, who sits atop the Fox Corporation structure. And so a lot of this story would have been played out of the mouths of key Fox players themselves. That said, Dominion did delay this settlement until truly the 11th hour. I mean, the 11th hour and the 59th minute. Mm-hmm. The jury was impaneled. Oral arguments were about to begin. And because this didn't settle earlier, I mean, if this had settled, for example, in February, before the trove of evidence that was gathered in the case had been made public, these kinds of conversations that we're having amongst the citizenry wouldn't have been able to take place. And you can imagine Fox would have been quite incentivized to have settled prior to the revelation of all of this evidence about what people internally there said about Donald Trump, what people there said about their own sources, what they said about their own audience. And Dominion presumably refused to settle at that stage, moving to a place in which more of that information made its way into the public sphere and could spur the kinds of conversations that we're having now.
And Nate also brings up the point that Dominion had been hoping for an apology, an admission of guilt, maybe even an on-air to their own viewers admission of being wrong here. That doesn't appear to be part of this settlement. What do you make of that, Ronell?
Yes, I can only expect that Dominion sought for that component of the settlement and that Fox drew a hard line in the sand in refusing to do it. Fox didn't acknowledge knowing falsity. In fact, Fox didn't even acknowledge falsity. Fox acknowledged that the court acknowledged mm-hmm. falsity. That's what that's the extent of the statement, that Fox recognized that the judge had held in pretrial motions, in response to pretrial motions, that these statements, some of these statements about Dominion were not accurate. And the fact that that's the most that Dominion could get out of Fox, and the desire that Fox has to continue to hold on to maybe some of that audience base that might be craving the sort of ongoing delivery of some of this election denialism, is itself maybe problematic. The core centerpiece of Dominion's whole suit is that Fox finds itself between a rock and a hard place on these questions of feeling a lot of pressure from Trump supporting viewers who threaten to gravitate to other news outlets in the right wing ecosystem that will deliver up more of this conspiratorial coverage of election denialism. And maybe some of those same pressures continue to exist to this day, which tells us an awful lot about both the problems that we have with the supply of disinformation, but also maybe the seemingly bottomless demand for it.
We're talking to Ronell Anderson-Jones, professor of law at the University of Utah, expert on media and the courts. We're looking at this week's $787 million settlement in a defamation case in which Dominion Voting Systems challenged Fox News. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about this case ending up in this settlement? What would you have wanted to see from a courtroom trial? What question do you have about how all of this works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Ronell Anderson-Jones, media law expert and law professor at the University of Utah, breaking down this week's settlement between Fox News and Dominion Voting Systems, a case stemming from Fox's false claims about Dominion's voting machines after the 2020 election. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this case ending in a settlement? Do you think that's enough accountability for Fox? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ronell, this was a big lawsuit. It's not the only lawsuit. Another voting machine company, Smartmatic, also suing Fox. Dominion also suing some of those other news outlets you mentioned. I believe Newsmax and the OAN One America News. What are you watching for and some of the other legal challenges still out there?
Yes, Dominion was sort of first in line here, the first to get out into the court system and get and move to a jury stage and then to a settlement stage. But there are definitely a number of other suits in the queue. The Smartmatic suit is the one that most of us are watching most closely, both because it is the largest. Smartmatic is another voting machine company. It's seeking $2.7 billion, so even more than was sought in the Dominion case. We're also watching it closely because it deeply parallels the Dominion suit in a lot of really important ways. Smartmatic's claim rises and falls on a lot of the same cast of characters, the same sets of key people, key hosts at Fox, Maria Bartiromo, Lou Dobbs, Jeanine Perreault. All of those programs were involved in the Dominion suit and are also involved in the Smartmatic one. And the sources are also overlapping. So people like Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, who were espousing these false statements about Dominion, are also at the center of the Smartmatic case. The case is a little bit different, in part because of the role that Dominion and Smartmatic played in the 2020 election. Dominion is a much larger voting machine company in terms of its role in that particular election. It was involved in more polling places across the country. Fox was sort of arguing that it was it was important and newsworthy that it have conversations about Dominion because of its role in gathering ballots at that time. Smartmatic has, in many respects, a much stronger sort of David and Goliath kind of argument to make here. Smartmatic was falsely accused, it says, of being involved in rigging the 2020 election, but it in fact was had a very limited and quite uncontroversial role in the election at all. It was only used in one county in the whole country in that election. And so suggests that it was just sort of it wholly invented as a villain to advance this conspiracy theory. And that might explain part of the reason why the damages that are sought are so much larger. So a lot of us will be watching really closely to see how the Smartmatic legal team builds upon what's already been revealed in the Dominion one, takes advantage of some of that body of evidence to try to make its case.
Let's go back to our callers. Tom is with us in Waupaca. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm a criminal defense attorney. If I were defending Fox, I would say, well, one of the elements is malice, and it wasn't really motivated by malice. It was motivated by profit motive and greed. I mean, Fox News didn't really have anything against Dominion. It's just they wanted to tell their viewers what they wanted to hear to preserve their viewership. And so, yeah, they knowingly lied, but it wasn't out of malice. It was just out of we're trying to keep our audience happy and continue to make profits.
Tom, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Ronell, you said in this context, malice isn't just sort of mustache twirling deviousness. Would profit fit that category here?
Yeah, it's a very poor choice of words on the part of the Supreme Court. I've sort of long said this and faced this frustration as a law professor trying to teach the concept to my students who are accustomed to thinking about malice in the criminal context that your caller just referenced. We just use it in a really different way here in the First Amendment space. It doesn't go to the feelings that the speaker had about the subject of the lie. It just goes to their attitude towards the truth. If they engaged in the lie knowingly, or if they showed reckless disregard for the truth or falsity of the statement, that counts as actual malice. And whether they were motivated by profit share or to win back audiences or by hatred or by any other motivation isn't particularly pertinent in the First Amendment context. We label it actual malice, but what we care about really is the question of the knowledge of falsity.
Time for one more quick call. Pat is with us in Milwaukee. Pat, hi.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. A month ago, I said they're probably going to settle because overall, whether Murdoch's wise enough or too proud to not want to say what he thought, his attorneys finally convinced them to settle because it would be a year long of advertising about how poorly they're run. But I was surprised that I would think the prosecuting side would say, hey, you want to miss a year of bad PR. Not only are you going to not pay the price we're asking, but you're going to pay a premium. So it's kind of, I'm not a lawyer, so I know the workings are more serious numbers, but I thought they'd actually pay more than the settlement.
And gotcha, Pat. We're just about out of time. Ronell, your thoughts on, they kind of split the difference in the overall settlement amount in just our last minute or so.
Yes, I think that's right. It is exceedingly rare for a settlement to be for the asking price at the beginning stage, the amount of damages that were sought at the trial, and would be almost unheard of for the settlement number to be higher than that amount. This number is pretty high, and we think, although these settlements are not often made public, we think it may well be the highest number at which a defamation suit is settled in the history of defamation suits in America. But I agree that lots of folks expected that maybe Dominion held had a lot of cards in its hand at the final moment. It does seem clear that Fox would have been motivated to come to the table in order to avoid a longer, more drawn out, attention grabbing trial that was to come. Juries are just unpredictable, so both parties probably had a pretty significant incentive by the end not to roll the dice and go before one.
Ronell, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's Ronell Anderson-Jones, professor at the University of Utah's S.J. Quinney College of Law, also a former newspaper reporter and editor, with us for a look at the settlement in the Fox News Dominion Voting Systems lawsuit.